Welcome to a summer edition of the Wahoo Central podcast, which we record in our studio here at University Hall. There aren't a lot of people around the UVA athletics complex this time of year, but the returning players on the football team are in town training hard for the coming season. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is the Cavaliers starting quarterback, Kurt Bankert.
Awesome.
Kurt, good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
At this time last year, you were new to Charlottesville, new to UVA. You probably needed a GPS to get around. What's your comfort level now kind of compared to a year ago?
I feel like I've been here for a while now. Really gotten to enjoy Charlottesville and everything that it has to offer in the surrounding areas. I don't need a GPS anymore unless I'm going on like 64 or whatever. but it's a lot different. Nothing is, it's not a whole bunch of things at once. I can really focus on little things here and there that I can improve on. So it's been really enjoyable.
Coach Wintrick's summer strength and conditioning program started last week.
Yeah.
What schedule are the players keeping? You're training in the morning, right?
Yeah, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday. My group is from 8 to 10. Well, like, we have some stuff before. It's optional. But 8 to 10, Tuesday, Thursday, the entire team is out there, 7 a.m. Saturdays, a lot of us get together and do some extra stuff on Saturdays, and then throughout the week, there's Tuesday, Thursday, we run 7-on-7, and
and that's player organized,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely, like 100% of the way. We come up with our own scripts and all that stuff, so we have a pretty good group of leaders right now that are really kind of heading the thing. So there's that, and then like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just kind of individual meeting times whenever you want with different guys on the team, getting in groups and watching film. So.
And didn't the NCAA change the rules a couple of years? You're allowed some time with the coaches, right,
mm-hmm.
on the field, like some hands-on time in the summer.
So we do that Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. So we'll do like 30 minutes or whatever. I don't know what the times are, but a certain amount of time with Coach Wintrick and the staff, speed work stuff, and then after that we do like position-specific things. So
you started your college career at East Carolina, where the head coach was Ruffin McNeil. Coach McNeil came here, preceded you at Virginia. He was here when you transferred in last year. He just left to take a job with Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Who you also know at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Kind of weird to have Ruff gone since he was kind of probably one of the reasons you came here, at least a familiar face here.
Yeah, the familiar face part is definitely true. It's weird that he left. I would say for a little bit of it's weird, but you kind of could see it coming just with how rapidly Coach Stoops stepped down and then Lincoln got promoted. And now just kind of I feel like eventually that scenario would have played out. I didn't think it would happen this soon, but you also didn't expect Coach Stoops to retire this late or this early in the summer, I guess you would say. So I think the timing for him to go there wasn't the best for us here at UVA, but the timing is the timing for him to go. So I think it's all going to work out. He's a great coach. Coach Riley, obviously, a lot of respect for him. He's going to do great things at Oklahoma, and they're a good football team. So we're happy for him, but we have work to do here, and we're not going to slow down whatsoever.
So last year you played at, I think, about 235 pounds, and you looked like you could have lined up at tight end maybe if needed.
Yeah.
You're a lot leaner this year, and you talked about it some in the spring. What are you down to, and what has the drop in that weight done for you athletically and as a quarterback?
It's done a lot. I was playing around, I started the season like 235, 237-ish, got to around like 230 to 225-ish during the season, and now I'm at like 215 around that area solidly, so not really fluctuating a whole lot anymore depending on the day as the days go. And just, I feel quicker, I feel more explosive, more athletic, kind of how I felt before I was injured.
Yeah, did you get bigger kind of intentionally, or was it because you couldn't work out as much when you hurt your knee?
No, I was trying to get bigger. I was trying to put on as much weight as I could without it being, like, terrible weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't as focused as much on, like, body fat percentage and all that other stuff. I was just trying to be able to prepare myself for my first season. And now that I've been through and I see kind of what it has to offer, I wanted to really hone in on what I felt would be my best chance to have the best season that I could have. And that's where I'm working on right now. I've dropped my body fat percentage a whole lot, got it a real comfortable playing weight, I feel. And just being able to take the hits but still move how I used to before I got hurt. It's kind of been my biggest goal. And I think Coach Wintrick, he has a good plan for me. Coach Croce, who's my specific coach right now, it's pretty much just me and him in the weight room together. So it's been good. They've been really focusing in and doing a good job.
You were coming off a torn, still recovering from a torn ACL mm-hmm. when you got here, though you had been cleared to play. Mm-hmm. You had that cumbersome knee brace that you wore in every game last year. Yeah. I know you dropped it in practice late in the year, but you didn't have it at all this spring, I think.
Yeah.
How much of it, does that make a physical difference, or is it more psychological, just knowing you don't have it down there?
I think it's both. I think you can make certain cuts without the knee brace that you can't make if it's on. That's definitely one part of it. And just kind of, I mean, you're running with like a pound and a half, 2 pounds on one leg and not on the other. So it's definitely weird playing with it, but it's both physical and mental.
Game 3 last year at UConn, mm-hmm. you only got sacked one time. But yeah. that one time you took a really big yeah. blow to your left shoulder.
Yeah.
I know you didn't want to talk about it a whole lot during the season because you didn't want to make it sound like you were making excuses. But I know that was a pretty serious injury.
Yeah.
How much are you healthy there now? And yeah. what was it like playing with that? And how much did it hinder you?
It was definitely really tough playing with it, obviously. And it wasn't so much that, like, afraid of getting hit as much of it was taking that right hit that would make that kind of stabbing pain. It wasn't a fun injury at all. It was more painful than my ACL was, but
really, it was more painful.
Way more painful. But it was just something I had to push through, and I think it's going to make me a better player for this year, just having gone through that and been able to manage that to the best of my ability at the time. It makes me appreciate being healthy again and being able to play with a clear mind.
The starting quarterback on a football team is expected to be, you know, if not the leader of the offense, mm-hmm. you know, one of the leaders of the offense.
Yeah.
When you look back on that, is that challenging to do when you're new, like
Absolutely.
You were when you come in? I mean,
Absolutely.
I know you build a rapport as quickly as you can with the other players, but you've still only been mm-hmm. in town for 3 months.
Yeah. I think that was the hardest part about the whole situation last year. Just coming in and having to – it's hard to assert yourself as the leader when you're still learning the playbook. And you do it to the best of your ability and all that type of stuff. But knowing everything and you being the one that people go to for when they have questions or when they want certain feedback on certain looks when they're trying to make adjustments, being that guy that can give them the answers without having to go to their coach is huge. And I think it just – there's a clearer line of communication when it's player to player instead of player to player.
Right.
Like Coach and I tells us a lot of the stuff with me and like Evan Butts, you guys just watch the film together and make it work. Because there's a lot of things that you can coach it up, but they'll throw that look at you that you just haven't even gone through and you just have to make it work. So a lot of it is just timing, consistency, and just being on the same page. And plays aren't going to be exactly drawn up right every time. So you just got to make it work with the guys that you trust.
You know what it's like to come into a new program as a graduate transfer. Mm-hmm. There are two offensive linemen, graduate transfers, who have joined the program, I guess, in the last month. Mm-hmm. John Montelis, I don't know if
– Montelis, I think.
Montelis from Notre Dame and Brandon Pertow from Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
What are your early impressions of them, and have you had any advice for them?
I think they're going to be good guys. They work hard. It's just we're early into it, so we don't really know everything that they're all about, but I think they're going to mesh well. They're good guys. They're here because they want to be here. They want to work hard. They want to win. And my advice to them was just keep your head down and work. Just I think that's the best approach you can take when you're jumping into a new team that's kind of trying to change – a whole program. Just keep your head down, work, and just try to fit in as soon as you can into the culture and just make it as if it's yours.
This is your second season with Jason Beck, who's mm-hmm. the quarterback's coach, and Robert Anai, mm-hmm. who's the offensive coordinator. Does it feel different with both of them just going mm-hmm. through it a second time?
Absolutely. I think going back and reassessing the year and just going back and watching the film, having taken like a few weeks away from it, allowed us to really go into spring with a really good game plan for spring for what we did well, what we could build upon, and things that we just needed to scrap. I think we I mean, we had a really good spring, in my opinion, and just knowing that it's the fall is always going to look better than the spring does is really encouraging for me. And just I think we built a lot of good momentum just between us three going into this fall.
You took almost every snap in spring ball, and I know you made a joke at the end of the spring game about how tired you were, but, you know, in retrospect, getting that much work, do you feel like that accelerated your development, taking that many snaps, however tiring it may have been at the time?
Yeah, I know that I won't be tired at all ever in a game this year. It just won't happen, not with all the reps that I took. I think that the more reps you have, the more you have to stay locked in. If you have only a handful of reps, then you know these are it, then you're locked in for that set of time. But when you don't know when the period's going to end or you don't know how many passes you're going to throw, you just have to take every single play and just lock in and do the best of your ability to stay focused. And you're taxed when you're tired, and you're taxed when you have 40-some throws in a practice in a competitive period. So it's I think the amount is really what makes things speed up.
The incoming recruiting class includes a quarterback from Woodbury Forest, mm-hmm. Lindell Stone, who's already in town.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of depth at quarterback, he'll have to be ready if needed this fall. Have you gotten to know Lindell at all yet, and any early impressions of him?
Yeah, he's a good kid. He's smart. He's an accurate passer, and he's a sponge. He's been in that meeting room when I've been by myself. Just he'll show up and just kind of just soak things up. I try to meet with him a few times a week just to really solidify the basics of the offense, because as you get into it more and they're developing plays for you, they dress things up here and there. But just getting the basics down for him to really have an understanding is the most important thing right now. But I've been trying to help that out as much as I can. But he's going to be good.
You threw some passes last year that I know you'd like to have back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to see how an athlete, a football player, can get bigger, stronger, faster. Mm-hmm. How does a quarterback improve his decision-making? How do you go about doing that?
I'm a big believer on, like, percentages. A lot of what I went back and looked at were percentages of when I could have thrown the ball away and saved a bad play or saved a sack or all these different things. So I went back and looked at, okay, if we had completed this many more passes a game, this would have been the completion percentage, because our completion percentage was poor last year. So that's one of the biggest areas that I'm trying to improve going forward is – that, and I think everything else around it will really reflect that. But if you can get the easy completions here and there, it just builds that confidence early in the drives.
And I think I had Jason Beck here on the podcast, and he said that sometimes the best play to take is the incomplete pass or even the sack.
Yep.
So I know you want to make a play every time, but do you have to just accept sometimes that the play's not there?
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the key takeaways from last year, because I felt at some points where I have to make a play for us to win this game, but that's not the case. And it was a young mistake to make, but we couldn't have that last year. So I'm really looking forward to put that behind me this year and just really show how much improved my decision-making has gotten throughout the spring.
You came here from East Carolina with a bachelor's degree. You'll leave in December with a master's degree. Mm-hmm. What was your first year at Virginia like academically?
Oh, man, it was a lot of work, a lot of late nights, just a lot of collaboration between different students, like in my cohort. It was just a lot of work, a lot of writing, a lot of papers. It was more than what I was expecting, for sure.
Well, the end is in sight now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It sure is.
So among the players from last year's team who have graduated were Taequann Mizell and Keon Johnson. You know, they combined for 101 receptions last year. Mm-hmm. The receiving core is probably a little bit unheralded, but you have guys like Alamide, Andre Lavroni, Joe Reed, mm-hmm. Donnie Dowling, Warren Kraft. Knock on wood, if he's healthy. What do you think about that group and its potential?
I think we're going to be a lot more spread around this year of who we're going to get the ball to. You're going to have, like, your certain plays designed for, like, Joe and O. That's just going to kind of be within the offense. But I think we have a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things, and we're not going to be as centered on trying to get one person the ball. Another name that I don't think that you mentioned was Hassis Dubois.
Yeah.
And he really had a good spring early on. So there's guys all across the board that we can plug in different situations, and they're really good at what's within their wheelhouse. So I'm excited to see those guys. There's been a lot of growth from last year. We were a young team, in my opinion, last year, and I think we've really grown up a lot throughout this process.
You mentioned Evan Butts earlier. I talked to him in the spring, and Richard Burney did a story on the tight ends. My impression I got from them and Coach and I was that they would be integrated more into the passing game. Yep. I mean, they were out there to block, but Evan has shown that he's a capable receiver. Bernie only had the one catch last year, but it was for a touchdown. So you see that group maybe having a bigger presence in the offense?
Absolutely. That group throughout the spring was consistently the highest production-wise. Like, if I throw it to them, they would catch it the most is kind of how we go through it. So we really got Evan Butts. He's just a good player. He came on pretty strong, and there's certain plays down in distances and all that type of stuff that I know I can get him the ball. Even if there's someone on his back, he's going to catch it.
All right, before I let you go, I know you work with the offense, but you face the defense, particularly in the 7-on-7. Yeah. Quinn Blanding, Micah Kaiser both decided to come back, which was obviously a big boost for the defense. There's probably more back on defense than there is on offense across the board. What do you think about that? What are you expecting from that group?
I have really high expectations for that group. Tim Harris was consistently, a lockdown guy all spring long. He was probably the first player that I played against in a while that I just knew if I was going to his side and it was one-on-one, there was probably going to be a problem. I'm really looking forward to him more than anybody this year, I think, to see how he plays, especially because he was injured.
Yeah.
And he's worked really hard to get back from that. So, you would never even have guessed that he was injured by the way he played this spring. But having him, having Micah, having Quinn, and having Andrew Brown, kind of like those four anchors.
At every level, yeah.
At every level, I think will increase the production across the board to all those other younger guys like Jordan Mack, Eli Hanbeck, like Juan Thornhill. There's a lot of guys that are younger that can look to that leader on their side and on their level that'll help them out.
Well, great. Well, as always, Kurt, thanks for making time
no
for
problem.
An interview. Best of luck this summer and in the fall.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is a slow time of year for Virginia athletics, but things will be ramping back up around here soon. For news, schedules, features, and information on all 25 of our teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.